Hi everyone, welcome to the call on what happens after the well-formed outcome. I'm really happy to have you on the call. So some of you I see are on audio. Not all of you are on the screen share just yet, so you should have gotten the screen share link. Please go ahead and click that because we will have a presentation that I will guide you through. At the end, you will be getting the PDF, and I'm going to put the video online of this call so that you can listen back to it. Welcome, everyone. We're going to have about 60 minutes together, and in those 60 minutes, I'm going to take you through the different kinds of coaching conversations that you can have with your clients after you get the well-formed outcome. I'm also going to share why it is so important to get the well-formed outcome first, because that's going to make it so much easier for you to have the kind of conversation. And actually, the conversation is going to be pretty much a cinch once you nail the well-formed outcome. So 60 minutes together, we're going to go through the coaching conversation, and then we are going to have some time for questions and answers about this topic, but I also want to give you the opportunity to ask any question that you have about meta coaching. So this is a great opportunity for us to explore a few things, and maybe you have some pressing questions that you'd like answered, and we'll take some time for that as well. So I see that some of you are already on Subscribe to Change, and so you already know about me. Others, you may have heard of me, seen my name on the e-groups. And so still I would like to share a little bit more about me before we continue. Okay, so my name is obviously Femke Stoet. I am from the Netherlands, and I have been living and working in the United States on and off for the past few years. My partner lives there, and as you can see in the picture, my dog lives there as well. At the moment, I'm in Holland. I've been traveling back and forth to Holland and the United States. So it's kind of perfect that most of my business is online. I started out with meta coaching back in 2005. I had done NLP since 2002, and after pretty much assisting the NLP practitioner and master practitioner for about 5 to 6 times each, I was like, okay, now I can run patterns on people, but I still don't know how to really help someone transform. And so I got online and Googled and found neurosemantics and meta-coaching. I was really lucky that within 3 weeks of finding that, there was an Accessing Personal Genius training in Holland. And so I jumped on that chance, and then a month later, there was the MetaCoach training in London, and I jumped on that, and I really never looked back. I absolutely love the system. I've assisted the ACMC about 6 times until I started training it for the first time last year in November, and then Lena Fjellheim and I trained it in Norway this January. So I'm very passionate about meta-coaching, and I'm even more passionate about bringing meta-coaching to the world and also helping other coaches like yourselves get to a higher level. That really is something that I'm incredibly passionate about. I've had a long journey on getting to PCMC level. After the ACMC, I didn't really know where to go to hone my skills. It's kind of like what's next, because you It's like driving, learning how to drive a car. You get your license, and then you have to get out on the road, and it can be quite scary. You don't know where to start. You don't get so much feedback. And so last year, I really decided, okay, I want to help other Meta coaches get to a certain level so that they can be confident and go out and get more business. Because and you might know that for yourself, I know a lot of Meta coaches around me who are really struggling with that, with the marketing, with the content and becoming a confident coach, charging a really good price for your services, finding your niche. There's a lot of different aspects of setting up your business, and so there's a lot of work to be done, and providing some feedback and benchmarking and training after you've done the ACMC is basically what I'm all about, because we have something really, really incredible in our hands, and we can do some amazing work, and I think we can conquer the world with this. So that's a little bit about me. As you see, you can also see a dog in the picture. That's my dog, Lila. I miss her very much because she's in the United States right now. As is my partner. That whole traveling back and forth can be a bit challenging. So, but enough about me. Let's go to what we're here for, which is what happens after you get the wellformed.com. I know that for a lot of you, the wellformed.com can be quite challenging to get. And so that's what most of us start focusing on, is like getting that wellformed.com. Maybe we even let go of it a little bit in our coaching sessions because it's just too difficult, and there's something like we know that we have to get it, but we can kind of get lost in it, and then it's like, okay, when do you start coaching, and what do you do when you have that well-formed outcome? So that's what we're going to be discussing today, and my aim is, because I'm unable to really dive into this, what happens after the well-formed outcome, I could do an entire training on that. There's so much material to cover. And what I really want to do is to, in this hour that we have together, I want to give you a kickstart on how to start thinking about categorizing and structuring it so that you kind of like can find your way through this maze, in a way. So that's what we're going to be doing. Like I said, I won't be able to discuss everything with you, but you will get a kickstart. And the way that we're going to do it is we're going to go dive deeper into the coaching conversations, and you will have heard of those 7 coaching conversations because we cover those briefly in the Meta Coach training. But those are really the key to knowing what you're going to do after the well-formed outcome. So let's take a look at those 7 coaching conversations. We're just going to review them for a moment and go over them, and then we're going to discuss the first 5 in more depth because the last 2 are more focused on team coaching. So the first 1 is the clarity conversation. So the clarity conversation is really for if your client really doesn't have a lot of understanding about the situation, whether that's the present state or the desired state, and they really need some more clarity before they can make a decision, before they can make a plan or make a change. They just want some clarity. As an example, I had a client who wanted to figure out what belief was holding him back because he didn't have clarity. I've also had someone else who knew what was holding her back but didn't know what to put in place. So all we did was we had a conversation, a brainstorm on getting clarity on what would be the belief or resource that would be able, that she would be able to put back into place. And so she knew how to make that change. She said to me, like, if I know what that new belief is, then I will know how to implement it and I can make a decision about it, but I just don't have clarity. And so that's the first conversation, a clarity conversation. Someone is just not understanding the situation. They can't create a picture. They don't have clarity on the steps, things like that. So that's the first conversation that there is. Then there's the decision conversation. And the decision is really when someone is kind of on the fence about something. They have an issue with commitment, and you'll hear that in their language. And so you'll be listening for lack of commitment, kind of being back and forth on going to their outcome. And so that's the decision in that case is what's going to be the leverage point that is going to get them to their outcome. Now, the third conversation is the planning conversation. And the planning conversation is all about detailing out the actions that are going to implement the decision. So once you have made the decision, then it is, have you got a map? Do you know what you need to do to get to your outcome? Do you have a plan for that? And some people are really great at having big goals and big dreams, but when it comes to the planning, that's where the detailing out, that's where they're lacking. And so that's the conversation that you need to have. So then the next conversation is about, so I'm kind of jumbling it, but so there's the conversation about experience. And so the experience conversation really is all about experiencing or role-playing or creating different scenarios in a specific context. So, and that really goes with all the conversations. It plays out in a specific context. And so an experience may be that your client is going to have a conversation with their boss and they need to say something difficult and they don't know how their boss is going to respond. And so that's what you're going to be role-playing, is how do I deal with the different kinds of responses? You may get angry, you may get upset or withdraw. How am I going to deal with those different kinds of responses, and what resources do I need? So this is about creating an experience. So then we have the change conversation, and the change conversation is one that most of you are really familiar with. What I notice is that most of my clients are most comfortable with this one, because that's what you learn in the MetaCoach training. It's where the focus is. In the APG, it's mostly where the focus is. So that's changing a belief or a habit, something that's limiting you. And so then you have a change conversation. And then the sixth conversation is the conversation about confrontation. So this is about, I have a blind spot, or my client has a blind spot, is avoiding something that they don't want to see, a reality or truth that they haven't faced. This may be in teams, or this may be in an organization where an employee is not performing in the way that they should be performing. They may be rude or hurtful, and so they need to be confronted. And this kind of conversation may be one that the client does not really want to have. So this is where rapport is really, really important. So that's the confrontation conversation. And then the last conversation is the one of mediation. And you can have that in teams, but also you can have mediation with the conflict, because this is all about conflict, mediating a conflict between two people. But as we know, we can also have a conflict within ourselves. And so the this conversation is all about bringing two sides or two people together to solve that conflict. So those are the different kinds of conversations that you can have. Thinking about it in that way, once you have done the well-formed outcome, these are the seven conversations that you are going to be having with your clients. So there's not really, in that sense, that much to choose from. And this really makes it easier. And I got to tell you that this really is something that initially I really overlooked when I started meta coaching. And I know that we discussed the topic in the ACMC, but I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. I really didn't think it was important. And so later on, I discovered that I was only doing change conversations. And that initially really only confirmed my belief that these seven different kinds of conversations, you really didn't need it, because everything really is a change conversation. And so that's what I was experiencing. Well, what I realized is that actually I was really limiting myself, and by limiting myself, I was really taking away opportunities for my clients, because I would steer them into that direction of change, which is really very limiting if what all they need is clarity, or if all they need is a planning conversation. And so in knowing what to do after the well-formed outcome, there's also your relationship with the different kinds of conversation, and also your flexibility in being able to have these kinds of conversations. And what I mean with flexibility is whether you are stuck in a specific meta program that stops you from being able to have, for example, a planning conversation. Planning conversation, there's three meta programs that are critical in order to have a planning conversation. If you're stuck on the other side, you're not going to be able to uncover or discover with your client that that's what they really need, because you will be deleting that. That's why stretching your meta programs is a really critical part of becoming a great coach. So these are the seven kinds of conversations, and we're going to go deeper into the conversations and looking at, okay, what do you need to focus on and what do you need to listen for? And again, your preparation is in the well-formed outcome. All your work, if you've done your work in the well-formed outcome, you already know what you're going to be doing in the conversation. So let's take a look and go through the conversations quickly. So the first one is the clarity conversation. So the clarity conversation, the distinction there is that your client does not know or is not clear about the situation, whether that's present or distinct. Now, what are you going to want to pay attention to? When it comes to the clarity conversation, the question is how comfortable is your client with not knowing? So they may come to you and be unclear, and as they become aware of that, their anxiety level is going to go up, because they are not comfortable with not knowing. They don't have permission to not know, which really stops them from exploring. And the clarity conversation is one where you really want to explore with your client. This is one where you're going to map out what's missing, see what's currently on scene, basically, figure out their strategy. So what you want to focus in is, what is the strategy, what is their strategy, what is your client's strategy for understanding something? And that's part of your solution. So as you go down the wellfrom.com funnel, if it's a clarity conversation, and I really need to make this point, why we loop back to the what question several times is, so your client may come with, yeah, I need a plan, I need a strategy. And that's what you stick with. So, okay, you need a plan. What specifically do you mean with a plan? You ask a clarity question, and you start taking that down the funnel. Now, as you take it down the funnel, you discover that what you really need, what your client really needs, is clarity. Because they don't have clarity on their present state or their desired state. So as you take that, then the what becomes clarity. And so you want to start in your wellfrom.com funnel as you go down. That's what your questions need to be focused on. What is your strategy for understanding something? So that becomes the desired state. And you really want to map that out, and you're going to be asking meta questions, lots of meta and lots of meta model questions to really map out what is your strategy for understanding something. And as you figure out the strategy, then you know what needs to be done to get clarity. And that may be different from one person to the next. And so that's where having a know-nothing state and just being open and curious, so what's missing here? Because when it comes to the clarity conversation, it may be that they need an internal picture. So right now, a couple of months ago, one of my clients had... When he started working on something, so he would make a decision of starting to work on something, something that he really wanted to do. So it had to do with art, so it had to do with painting, and it was a hobby of his, and he really wanted to paint, but every time he sat down, he would distract himself. And there was something in that moment after sitting down, something happened, and he said, it happened so fast, I don't even know what's going on. So that's the kind of clarity we need. He said, if I have clarity on that, then I know what I can change. So that was our conversation, is clarity on that. And it turned out his strategy was like, if he could just slow it down, he could slow down the movie of what he was saying to himself and what he was seeing, before he got into the state of distraction, that would have meant clarity for him. And so I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't asked him, how will you know? What do you need to do to get clarity? So that's where the wellfrom.com funnel really plays in, because you're going to be asking about how do you know how to do this? What do you need to do to get this clarity? What are the steps and stages and things like that? So you're going to be asking that of your client. Now, your client may not know the answer to this question, and that's okay. And what I really want to kind of inspire in you is to take each conversation, each of these conversations, and you can read up more about this in Coaching Conversations, which is Meta Coaching Volume 2. There's a lot written about these kinds of conversations and what meta programs come into play It tells you about the patterns that are critical and that you can use, and it also has examples of conversations. So that really is a very valuable book to read and to go through to really start understanding these different kinds of conversations, so that as you go through the wellfrom.com funnel, you can pick up on things. So knowing that if someone needs clarity, do they have a need to be perfect? So listening for that, are they really all or nothing about clarity? Do they have to know everything before they can move on? So they may have like an all or nothing frame. Detecting patterns is really important to be able to help your client figure out a strategy to get clarity. So part of the clarity conversation may initially be getting comfortable with not knowing right now and giving themselves permission before they have that exploration conversation. So that's the clarity conversation. And if you have any questions, please write them down, because after we've gone through the five conversations, then we'll have some questions and answers, just so that we can save some time right now. Okay, so that's the clarity conversation. Then there is the decision conversation. And with regards to the decision conversation, it's that your client is not committing, they're doubting, they're unsure about what they want. Even if there is a lot of motivation and they know it is important for them, but they're just not making that decision. And so then that's where you ask your testing question, is that what we need to be talking about? Making a decision. And then making a decision becomes the topic of your conversation. And then all of your wellfrom.com questions are pertinent to making a decision. So then how do you make a decision? That would be one of the questions. Do you know how you make a decision? And then you can map out or model their success strategy for making a decision. When have you made a decision that worked really well and that you were really proud and happy about? How do you do that? What do you need to believe? So this, what comes in here, what you want to pay attention to is, have they been weighing the pros and cons? And as you weigh them, you want to be checking them through meta questions. How do they relate? What are the beliefs that they have about those pros and cons? And are there any cognitive distortions in there, so that you can confront them with that and help them even make a decision about that? So you want to uncover their values, cognitive distortions. You also want to listen for, you also want to be listening for those meta layers. And as you listen for those meta layers, get them to step back outside of their matrix, and they may need to make some shifts. Are they risk takers or are they risk averse? Do they need to be more comfortable with risk taking? Are they willing to accept the consequences? Because part of making a decision is that you are saying no to something. And as you say no to something, that comes with a sense of loss. And are they okay with the consequence, and are they comfortable enough to sit with the sadness that might come from making a decision? And so that may be part of the decision-making process. All of that you will have already worked out through the well-formed outcome. So they may need certain resources. And doesn't mean that you're not going to stumble upon new things as you have the conversation, because you're going to you're going to ask meta questions, and they're going to have awarenesses and insights during that conversation. But for the most part, you can kind of already map out what needs to be done in the decision conversation. But these are a couple of the things that you can start listening for. And I would really recommend making some kind of, and depending on your learning strategy, making a mind map of the different conversations and the different things to be listening for, the different patterns that come into play so that you can start identifying patterns in the way that they use their words, so that you can start detecting what kind of conversation needs to be done, so that you also know what, how you can do that conversation. So that's the decision conversation. Then there's the experience conversation. With the experience conversation, there is a knowing-doing gap. So your client needs resources, or they need to experience different scenarios so that they know how to react because they have never done that before. I've done work with, so one of my first trainings when I was doing a mentor, a management traineeship, and one of my first trainings was an assertiveness training. And what we did was role play probably about 6 or 7 times the same conversation so that I could feel the different responses based on the what I communicated and based on my body language, based on my tone of voice. And so then as a coach, you act as a mirror for your client so that you can give feedback. And you can have a conversation about that, about what's going on in the back of their mind, so that you can add resources to that. One of the patterns here that you can use is the mind-to-muscle pattern. It's bringing in resources, so it's the metastating pattern that you've learned in the APG, role-playing different scenarios. And this is also something that I would like you to start thinking about is with every type of conversation, what pattern would really fit this? So you can even take the Accessing Personal Genius and go through the 14 patterns that you go through and say, okay, where does this play in? What is this, what kind of conversation would this be? Is this part of the experience conversation? Is this part of the planning conversation? So that you get an idea of what you could be listening for and what you could be doing with your client. And that even goes for NLP patterns. So which of the NLP patterns are part of the experience conversation or part of the clarity conversation? So starting to think about that as you make a structure for yourself and you map it out, it's going to be so much easier to, well, it's not going to feel so overwhelming because there's so much out there, and really start with little steps. So, you know, start with exploring one conversation. So here's my personal favorite, the change conversation. And this is where you essentially change a limiting belief, a habit. It also may be that someone is stuck in memory. So they have a reference experience in a specific context that really isn't useful for them, but that's the one reference experience that they keep coming back to when something happens. So every time when they are in their job and they're not picked for a certain project, every time they go back to primary school and not being picked for the soccer team or things like that, and every time something similar happens, that's what they bring up, and so then it becomes the reference experience that is problematic and you want to change that. Maybe also a state that they're really stuck in which case you would do Dancing with Dragons because it's much more a physical experience. Maybe a limiting belief. So here you'll see that you can do the swish pattern. You can do the matrix, the basic matrix change pattern. So that's like meditating concepts pattern. Someone having a troubling relationship with a certain concept. And so that's what you then focus on. So that's the change conversation. And like I said, and I'll get back to that later, that's my favorite. So then you have the planning conversation. Now the planning conversation really focuses on, okay, your client knows where they want to be. They know where they're at, but they have no idea how to get there. You'll see that very often in people who are in very global, on the global side of the continuum. They like to keep their options open, and they like to think in terms of want, not of need, because it takes away their freedom. So I had a conversation with one of my clients a couple of weeks ago, and she initially said that she needed some clarity. And so we were talking about that for a little bit, and it turned out that what was really going on was that she didn't have a plan, and so she was feeling really overwhelmed, and that's why she wasn't taking action. And so then it became about, well, I need to create a plan and really detail that out and take more incremental steps. Well, as we were mapping that out, she came up with such resistance. She felt such resistance to doing that because she felt like it would take away her freedom. And so I really had to confront her on that not having the flexibility to, and that's also was really part of it, flexibility and creativity. She wanted to stay creative, but not having that flexibility to go to detail and to go to procedure actually stopped her from being flexible. So I said to her, so you don't have the flexibility to go from options to procedures, or you don't have the flexibility to go from global to detail. And so as she saw that, we focused on expanding her meta programs, first of all. So that was part of the planning conversation, is to really expand those meta programs so that we could then have that conversation of step by step, and we actually made a checklist. Now the planning conversation may also be the Disney strategy may be really relevant for this. So you go through the Disney strategy, you go in step, get your client to step into the realist, and then be really critical. So that you can inform your dreamer to make refinements to the dream, and then go back to the realist so that you have a step-by-step plan of making your dream come true. So the Disney strategy is a great conversation for the planning conversation. And you can also create a mind map or a checklist. When it comes to creating a mind map or even a checklist, things like that. One of the things with the planning conversation that I always ask of my client is, how will you know that we have a mind map that is going to help you get to your outcome? Because ultimately, there's going to be an effect. We have the planning conversation because that's the leverage point for change to help them get to the outcome that they really want. And so it's not just any kind of mind map. I want them to be able to, well, have a good relationship with it so that they actually want to do the steps. If they have an aversion to the steps because they feel it takes away their freedom, then we need to do some work there. At the same time, it's like, okay, are these steps really dealing with the roadblocks that get in the way? Is it realistic? So how does my client know when it is a mind map or a checklist that fits with where they want to go? So I always check that. So that's something that I really listen for in my KPI. So that's the planning conversation. Okay, so let me see. So we've had the clarity conversation, we've had the decision conversation, we've had the experience conversation, the change conversation, and the planning conversation. Now, there's a couple of things that can really get in your way. So what is that? Well, like I said, I had a real preference for the change conversation, and so all I saw was the change conversation. I've had my clients actually say that as well. It's like, oh, yeah, I really don't care for the planning conversation. I don't really see the point of it. So there's the sense of aversion and preference for the specific types of conversations, and they really play into your meta programs. So I really want to stress kind of sitting back and thinking, okay, which conversations do I have a preference for? Which conversations don't I have a preference for? Which ones do I really feel resistance to? And that plays to your flexibility to really listen for what your client needs. If you're going to delete 6 out of the 7 conversations like I did, you're not going to be able to serve your client in the best way possible. So that's really something to listen for. The second one that gets in the way is getting lost in the wellform.com or even letting go of the wellform.com at all. So when you have the wellform.com, as you go through it, you ask about what do you need to do to get there, what are the resources, what is stopping you, what are the steps and stages. So you're already making the structure and the plan for getting to the outcome, for getting to the decision. And that's why it's so important to take the right what, because if you have the right what, then you already map out what you need to be doing in the conversation. The well-formed outcome is the answer to that. And so whether that's a decision conversation, your client is still going to be able to tell you their solution. You are a modeler. As a coach, you model how they make a decision, how they get clarity, how they experience something. So they can tell you what to do. And if you listen really well for the patterns, and that's why identifying patterns and frames and structure is really critical, and having being able to do that helps you with finding the solution, because your client may not know. So that's why it's really important to know inside and out what you might come up or enter into when you have the different kinds of conversations. So like I said, with the clarity conversation, there may be a lack of permission to explore because your client is too anxious about not knowing at the moment. So being able to listen for those kinds of things and knowing what might come up is really going to help you detect those patterns and frames and the structure. So learning how to detect patterns is going to make your life a lot easier as a coach as well. So paradoxically, in order to know what to do after the wellform.com is to nail the wellform.com and to get really great at it. That's been my experience, has been if I go through the wellform.com completely and I sign off, have an agreement, even if I don't get the KPI perfectly, but I have gone through the steps of the well-formed outcome, then we know exactly what to do in the conversation. And then you may spend 40 minutes on getting the well-formed outcome, and then you can spend 10, 20 minutes on the conversation itself because you've already mapped that out. Okay, so before we continue, I'm going to check if there's any questions. Okay, so let me share with you, if you have a question, you can just press 1 on your keypad. If you are on Skype, you can press 1 on your keypad in Skype, and that lets me know that you're putting up your hand. And then I can open your mic and I can answer your questions. Hey, Sterling, hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. That's fantastic.
Good.
Yeah. I did have a question here. So in going through this well-formed outcome that you described here in the conversation, when and how does one get this KPI, and when do you know that you have it?
Okay. So the KPI really is the last question of the well-formed outcome, and for each of the different conversations, there's a different type of KPI, which is described in your ACMC manual, but I'm going to be sending out a PDF with the video that I'm going to create after the call, so I'll share that as well. But to answer your question, without getting into the different kinds of conversations, once you know, for example, that you have that your client wants clarity, and they know that they have clarity if they can tell with the client that I had about the sitting down to do his painting and being distracted, what he wanted was to slow down the movie of what was happening, because he knew that he was seeing something, but it went so fast that he didn't see it clearly. So if he knew what he saw, that would let him know that he had the clarity. So I mapped that out with him, and then I asked that question, how will you know? Okay, so I will know when I can see that picture and hold it still in front of me, and I can describe to you what it is that I see, and then what I say to myself. So if I'm able to do that, because he was unable to do that in the beginning of the conversation, and so that's your test. So there's a present state of not having clarity, and then there's a desired state of having clarity specifically for this conversation, then I'm going to ask, how will you know? And then that's what he said. Like, if I can keep that picture still, tell you what I see, and how I respond to that, what I say to myself, then I know that I will have clarity. What I then do is ask, can you do that right now? Because that is a really important test. If he can do that right now, then we don't have to work on. So his answer being no, then we say, okay, so that would be a really valuable use of your time to get that. So then that's what's going to be our test. Did that answer your question?
I think so. So if I understand you correctly, what you're saying then is there's going to be a a KPI for each one of the individual conversations that you're having?
Yes.
Okay. So would there then be an overall KPI for the ultimate goal, or would the KPIs be then gone through with each conversation, and then would there be like a meta KPI that's the overarching goal that they want to achieve through the coaching, or do we leave it at the individual conversation and then deal with each KPI?
So initially when I started with someone, I set a KPI for the end. So we may have 8 sessions in total. And so then I want to know what you have a specific outcome at the end of us working together, what 3 KPIs will let you know that you've got your outcome. And those are things that you don't have right now.
Okay, so
that's
that
what
will
we
be
work
on
the first.
Meta outcome. Mm-hmm.
That's the meta, yes, I like that. So that's the meta KPI or the meta outcome. And then when we start the sessions, for every session we'll have a different KPI.
Okay, and then each session would be one of these conversations then, I'm guessing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Okay, yes, well thank you. That answers my question. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sterling. Okay, any other questions? Jason.
It worked. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I had a question for you about the decision conversation. So
Okay. If
you are having a conversation with somebody, you ask them what do they want out of this session, and they tell you that they want to – I'm sorry, the planning conversation. So they tell you that they want to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
The next question that you would follow up with, you'd bring that to the top of the funnel, and what does that plan look like?
Yeah.
So that would So when you run down the funnel, so you bring that to the top of the funnel, you ask what would that plan look like as a follow up question, for example. Go ahead, please.
Well, I want to know, and this is where with all the kind of words that we learn in meta coaching. Those are the words that we really want to pay attention to if our client uses them, to ask clarity questions, because we may think to know that what they're talking about, but I'm not sure what my client means with the plan. So I first of all start to ask a clarity question. What do you mean specifically with the plan?
And then my follow-up question is, so let's say we work through the context part of the funnel and we get down now to the planning part of the funnel. How does that work? If they want a plan, you find out what that plan looks like, sounds like, feels like, why they want it, where they want it, when they want it, Then when it gets down to what do you need to do, you just continue down the funnel through the planning questions in a planning conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. So getting to a plan, like what are the steps? Like how do you make a plan? So first I need to brainstorm the steps. Then I need to, the second part would be to prioritize them. And as I prioritize them, I need to think about roadblocks and brainstorm about the roadblocks, so there may be different scenarios. So that would be someone's strategy of getting to a plan.
Got you. So the planning part of the funnel is going to behave somewhat like a strategy elicitation, if I'm hearing you correctly. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, in a way. It's because once you have the strategy elicitation, you know the steps. However, it may also be, like I said, with planning, that someone really doesn't want to get into the details. So first we need to do something with that. And that may be one of the steps then. So first we're going to focus on giving yourself permission to work on details. And then we're going to brainstorm. And then
so that would be like the first step. You would hold on to the planning KPI, the planning outcome then, or you would jump back up to the top of the funnel in that scenario? What would you do?
Oh, I would say like that could be part of the
plan.
Part of the planning. If that's a really huge thing, and that's what we need to be talking about, so that's why we ask the testing conversation. So this permission to detail, is that what we need to be talking about? And if that answer is, well, that's part of it, but there's also other things, then you can just continue. If it is, well, yeah, actually, it's that, because once I have that permission to go to detail, I know how to plan. And
great.
Then that becomes then you have a different topic.
Gotcha. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for the clarity.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Thanks, Jason. Okay, Caroline.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm pretty good. How about you?
Hi. Good, thanks. So the question I had is, partly in listening to you talk and then some of my own experiences, I find sometimes that going through the, you know, going down the funnel and through the funnel, that by the time we get to the KPI, they're actually done because the work has been done in the process of going through. What has been what's been blocking them has shown up and that's worked through. So I'm not entirely clear of what happens, is the conversation, the decision-making conversation, or the planning conversation, or whichever kind, that happens even as one is going through the funnel, or am I misunderstanding?
That may actually happen because they got so much awareness already that as you go through the funnel, the shifts are already happening. And that's why you really want to listen for those insights and those shifts. Because as they get those awarenesses, I can then ask, do we need, and that's where you ask a checking question, do we still need to be working on this? And so as that comes up, we can maybe go to the next step. Does that make
okay.
sense?
And
so then we.
It does, yeah. And so can.
Okay, go ahead.
So can you give me an example of a time where you get to the KPI, and because I think you had said you know you might take a large part of the session getting through the funnel to the KPI, and then your conversation after that is only, you know, say 10 or 15 minutes. So can you just give an example of what that looks like when you get to the KPI, and then there's additional conversation to be had?
Yes, absolutely. So when I did my coaching session for the PCMC level, I was coaching a lady and she wanted to do more writing. And so she wanted to do writing for newsletter, writing on Facebook. And so what we did, and this was a change conversation, what we did was really, I mapped out the strategy of what was going on for her right now. Every time she would pick up a pen, because she loves writing by hand rather than on the computer, every time she would pick up a pen, her mind would go back to the past. And she would have this internal chatter. And so first she would pick up the pen, and then she would have this internal chatter about not being good enough and things like that. And there were some meta frames running, operating there. We got to the highest frame. And so then we assessed, okay, so this is the way that you have the strategy right now. How would you like that strategy to be? And so we mapped that out. And this is all still in the well-formed outcome conversation. And so we have the trigger of picking up the pen. That basically is the trigger, and so that's going to be my test. Because she wanted to, I don't specifically remember, but she wanted to have like a specific, like an eagerness to write. when she picked up the pen. And now when she picked up the pen, she would get really sad. So we would, that was our shift. And so we had mapped everything out. Okay, so this is what we need to be doing. And part of that was saying no to the internal chatter. We didn't say no to the internal chatter yet, but we did map that out as the steps, part of the steps and stages, and then giving her herself permission to bring in new things to say, and we distorted the voice of the internal chatter. So we really mapped out all of those things, and then once we've mapped that out and we had the agreement, all we did, we needed to do was to have that conversation. It took me 50 minutes to get to really map out the strategy and everything. And then after those 50 minutes, in 12 minutes, we finished the session. So it only took us 12 minutes because I knew exactly the steps, saying, getting, because then we really know, okay, I know how to put someone into a state of no, and really say no to that internal chatter and to that highest belief. So I just got her to say no to that until that really was gone, so that she could welcome in something new. And we had just mapped that out, so those things don't take so much time. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm not actually, my client may say, I just need to say no to that. And that's something that I'll just listen for, like, okay, so that's one step. We're not actually doing that just yet. So we're just mapping out the steps.
Okay. No, that. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay, great. Thank you, Caroline, for your question.
Thanks.
Okay, so we have pretty much gone through our hour. There's, if I can have a few more minutes of your time, there's one more thing that I would like to share with you. And like I said, after the call, I will be sending you the audio with the slides for you to review. And so couple more things that I would like to share, because like I said in the beginning, one of my passions is to help meta coaches like yourself get to the next level. And so I'd like to share a little bit about that, because I know that it can be after the ACMC, and I'm not entirely sure, of course, when you've done the ACMC. But we need feedback. If we want to be great coaches, we need consistent feedback on our coaching. And getting that and getting high-quality feedback can be really challenging. So one of the things that I'm a bit of a nerd at is benchmarking, so that's a big part of my business. But I have started a program called the Kick-Ass Confident Coach Mentoring Program. And it's an 8-month program that really focuses on 4 pillars of development. So it focuses on developing your identity as a coach and really building a solid, confident identity so that you can go out and congruently sell your services and actually charge a good fee for your business, so that you can turn it into an income, into a business rather than a hobby. It also focuses, and that's the second pillar, on skill development. And we do that through skill builders and also through regular benchmarking. So throughout the 8 months, there's regular benchmarking on a weekly basis. And you'll also practice your benchmarking, but you're also going to be practicing all the skills. Then there's a stretching of the meta programs, and that is really critical, not only for your skill development as a coach, but also for your marketing. This, I can't stretch enough. You're stretching your meta programs is critical for both becoming a great coach as well as really running a successful coaching business, where you can leverage your time and have the lifestyle that you want. Because I think we're in the business of helping people and changing the world, but we also take the risk of being entrepreneurs to have a specific kind of lifestyle and to have that freedom and not work 80 hours a week to get a viable income. So stretching your meta programs. And then the last part, the last pillar, is your coaching business, which is also really important. What, you know, marketing principles do you need in order to really be successful in your coaching business, in your coaching career? So those are the pillars. It's 8 months. There's a training call every 3 weeks where it's limited to 6 people. So there's not a lot of space, but I keep it small because that means that you really can learn from each other and you have still a lot of one-on-one with me, or you have enough time with me and enough personal attention to really get your skills to the next level. So there's a skill builder every 3 weeks as well, which you can put your own time in, so you can schedule that in your own time. It's developed so that you can practice it in regular conversations and in your coaching conversations, so that it doesn't necessarily have to take that much extra of your time. Obviously, it is focused and you need to put your energy into it, but it's really going to accelerate your learning. There's going to be weekly benchmarking, practicing your benchmarking, learning from me, because I'm going to be benchmarking the coaching sessions. So that happens every week. There's the Facebook group where you can ask questions and interact with your group, because it's a private group. And then there's also 3 individual benchmarking sessions. And that really focuses on, okay, where are you at, not only skills-wise, but what meta programs do you need to stretch, and also what is stopping you, what's getting in your way. So that's a little bit about the Kick-Ass Confident Coach Mentoring Program. If you are interested, and at the end of May, I'm starting a new group. I'm taking applications right now. If you're interested and you really want to take your skills, both in your business and in your coaching, to the next level, then you can apply at subscribetochange.com/KACC-application-form. So you can apply for it there. Then once you've filled out the application and I've reviewed it, I will invite you for a meeting with me on Skype, and we can talk about it and see if you're a fit and if the program is a fit for you. Okay, so that concludes our training for today. Let me see if there's any final questions. Are there any final questions? And again, you can just press 1 on your keypad. Kristen?
And I just wanted to thank you once again for a really valuable session for me, and wish you a really, really nice Easter, Sankar.
Thank you very much, Kristen. Happy Easter to you as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Any questions? All right. Well, that concludes our webinar for tonight. Thank you for being on the call, everyone. And thank you for staying with me a little bit longer than planned. I hope it was valuable for you. If you're not on the Facebook group, because I have a Subscribe to Change Facebook group for Meta Coaches, just go ahead and you can ask to join, and then I can add you to the call. So please go ahead and do it. You can just look up Subscribe to Change. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at femke@subscribetochange.com. And I look forward to hearing you on a call or seeing you at a MetaCoach training in the future. And good luck in developing your MetaCoaching skills. All right. Depending on wherever you are, have a great rest of the day, evening, or morning. Goodbye.